two dads, two moms, and about enough kids to form a small basketball team. A podcast for the modern parent. It's Parenthood by Fire.
All right, welcome to the program. It's Parenthood by Fire, a brand new, spanking new weekly podcast. My name is Mike. I'm the host of the show, and I'm joined by three other parents. We need to balance things off here. We've got two guys, two dads, two moms. We all come from different backgrounds. We all have different age children. But at the end of the day, I think it's fair to say we're kind of like just normal parents. I mean, raise your hand real quick in the room here if you have like a doctorate or some kind of degree in parenting, because I sure as hell don't. That's for sure. So I want to start off by kind of introducing the folks that I get the pleasure here to work with. Jennifer, Elena, Pedro, and then myself, Mike. And so I just wanted to take, again, episode one to kind of get to dig a little deeper, learn more about us, our kids. And Jen, let's start with you. So you're a mother of two, right?
Yes, got two little boys. I have Red, who is 8 years old in third grade, just started back to school. I have Dewey, who's five, just started in kindergarten, and I am a full-time working mom living here in Northern California with my husband, trying to figure this all out.
Excellent. And when the question, so I've got a few questions, by the way, and I may vary it up a little just to get like impromptu answers here. But besides the moment that your child was born, and you're female, so you obviously had the child, so you physically knew when you were a parent.
Totally felt it.
Just want to get that.
Yes.
In case anybody was wondering, the name, the voice, Jennifer is female.
I am. I'm female. I had two kids.
Okay, good. When was the first moment you knew you were a parent?
I think the first moment I knew I was a parent came later than maybe some other people did, because it was the first life-threatening moment that I had with my son. He was about... This was Red. He was about, I don't know, 15, 16 months old, and was enjoying some fantastic Cheez-It crackers and started to choke and looked at me, gave me that look of sheer panic and fear. And I knew in that moment, this child's life literally depends on me and how I'm going to react right now, and was able to do the Heimlich, and he's still alive today. So that was the moment where I was like, wow, that was literally, I saved his life, kept him alive in that moment. And so
that's like the moment you knew that this child like depended on you.
Yes,
for everything.
That was it. Not just keeping him alive for the first year, which we certainly celebrated. Like at his birthday, it was like, yay us. We kept this kid alive.
Because the warranty's up.
Yeah.
Like at 12 months, the warranty's completely up.
That's why panic set in. He was panicked. I was panicked. Got to keep him alive. There's nothing I can do. So
now the one thing the folks at home may not know is that the four of us actually happen to be friends aside from just strangers. So we've known each other. Many of us have been present at the births of our children. Maybe not necessarily in the room, but like for Jennifer, for example, when Red was born, I was in the waiting room, for example, and others have played similar roles here. I don't know if I've told you guys this, but that actually happened to me as well. That happened to me in an airplane. Yeah, I kid you not. It was my daughter, Goose. She was eating, I think it was, I don't know if it was pretzels or could have been goldfish or something like that.
Damn crackers.
No kidding, those damn crackers, exactly. When are they going to put holes in those? At any rate, though, she's munching on those, same kind of thing. And it was like she went and she took a breath, and I heard that like squeak. And I'm looking at you guys, yeah, like, you know, and I heard that, and I mean, my wife didn't have as cool of a head as me at that very moment. I'm in a plane, like 28,000 feet, right? And I just took her. Luckily, I have a friend that taught me CPR. That's the amazing thing. And we'll get to that, by the way. That friend's in the room. So technically, Pedro saved my daughter's life. We're lucky to have Pedro here.
Nice.
So we'll get to him. But at any rate, I did actually use those skills at one point. I'm not sure my form was right. I took her over the knee, if I recall, and I kind of like gave her one of these.
How old was she?
Oh God, maybe a year and a half. Yeah. Younger. It worked.
No, it does.
It worked. Thank God. But thankfully, my friend taught me that. Thank you. All right, we'll move on to Elena. Elena is a mother of one. And tell us a little bit about yourself. You're a little child.
Mm-hmm. I'm an adoptive mother of one. And he's 2.5 years old and precocious. But we love him. And his name's Rocky. And
Precocious.
Yeah,
some of us have a third grade education. Give me another adjective if you don't mind.
Rambunctious,
okay.
Wild.
Yes. He is a boy, right?
Yes, totally, 100%. Actually, there was a switch He went from cute and adorable to insane at like 18 months. And I think that was like the switch most of you guys may have experienced. I think I've got the... No, Pedro has the youngest in the room.
That's right. How many, by way of hands here, or not way of hands because it is a podcast, how many of us are still changing diapers? Two of you, right?
Yeah, I'm still changing diapers.
Are you only one set, right, Pedro?
Yeah.
I would hope.
Otis is your youngest, and he's still pooping his pants.
Yeah, occasionally I do change my own diapers, but...
Yeah. Okay.
For the most part, they're only Otis's.
Yeah, and I'm still changing diapers for Rocky, so...
Nice. All right.
We tried the body training. It didn't go so well.
So let me ask you this. What misconceptions did you have about children before your little man came into your life?
Oh, there are too many to number, but if I had to pick maybe two misconceptions that I had about kids was that they listen all the time. And they're, you know, I think that's probably the first one, and then that it takes a lot more patience than I thought, you know?
Yeah, that's for sure.
I thought patience would be enough, but you like have to have patience in so much abundance that it's everything that you do. Like it's in everything that you breathe that day.
We have it just dawned on me as I'm looking around the room, we have an overwhelming amount of parents here that have boys. I'm the only one that has a girl, right?
Yes.
Okay, I had to kind of, you know, carry the one and do the math.
Luckily though, they're girls. So they may be able to give some enlightenment.
That's
right.
We
could give insight, yes. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. You said something when you were explaining Rocky. Mm-hmm. You said at 18 months, a little switch went off. Mm-hmm. Now, I had that happen with my son as well, where he went from this cute, loving, sweet little thing, angel. This little pink squishy thing, this angel, right? Mm-hmm. And then he turned into like this boy. Did you have that happen with Dewey and Red?
Well, not necessarily with Red. He stayed pretty even keeled until about 3 years old, and then he decided to go crazy. Probably coincided with Dewey coming into existence, but Dewey definitely went crazy and continues to stay crazy.
Amazing what a different personality for the folks that are in the room here that have two kids. What about Mo and Otis? Was there a point, Pedro, when they when that little switch went off and they... turned from a cute little loving little boy into a little tyrant.
Tyrant?
Maybe not tyrant. Well, strong word.
No. That Mo would definitely be a tyrant if I let him. I keep it in check. Short leash on that one. It was probably somewhere around 18 months to 2 years. I remember just looking at Mo and just going, he's a boy. He's a little boy. And he loves to run and jump and play and bounce and wrestle and do all the things that stereotypically boys do.
Dig in the dirt.
Make a mess. Or dig in whatever he can that he thinks is dirt. That's not really dirt. And you're like, that's not dirt. And he's like, it's okay. Don't dig it anyways. With Otis, though, it's much sooner. As soon as Mo could get his hands on Otis... It was wrestle time, and it was let's play time, and it was like, no, you're teaching him how to wrestle. Don't do it, Mo. And lo and behold, now that, how is he? 17 months. He just turned 17 months.
Really?
Otis, yeah.
It feels like he just turned a year.
I know. Well, he's going to his 18-month checkup at the end of this month. So, yeah. So, Otis, when he turned 10 months and started to walk, he started to wrestle, and he started to climb. And it's been almost a very fast turnover for him, for a boy. So he was like, as soon as he can walk, he just loves to wrestle his older brother. So Mo will be sitting there watching TV, just all kind of zoned out. And all of a sudden you hear, and then there's this game on. And it's just throwing, kicking. Well, they don't really fight. They wrestle, they run around, they chase each other. Otis tends to slam his head into something at some point. He's now had 4 head injuries in the last week.
You're a paramedic, so let's qualify head injury.
Well, he smacked his head.
Okay, but I mean, like, he's not concussion type level injury.
No, well, he couldn't remember his birthday for a while, but then I figured that was kind of normal.
NFL's going to bench him.
Yeah, boy.
So I asked him the question.
Not a walking boot or anything like that, or
no? Well, he did yesterday. We were at a friend's house, and he decided to jump down the stairs. So we don't have stairs in my house. It's a small one-story house. And He likes stairs. He likes to climb up the stairs. And you can do that good. You come down the stairs, and it's like, one, two, I'll slide on my butt. Three, yeah, I'll jump. And he jumps.
Or baby
up.
Gates. Having a two-story home.
We are on our second set of baby gates.
Man. And they don't go away. No. I still have a baby gate at the top. And yeah. It's actually more for the fact that I do.
You drink a lot, right?
That's exactly why.
Exactly.
Well, I have to. It eases the pain. I mentioned early on that this is Parenthood by Fire. This isn't Parenthood lollygagging. You know, this is like, you know, it's rough, man.
You get thrown into it.
Fire. I've got to numb the pain a little bit.
Yeah.
Plus, my son is a climber. Like you mentioned, Otis is a climber. My son, that climbing switch went on. And I take an unusually high number of hits to the groin. I really do. And so numbing the pain.
Does it have to do with height, though?
I don't know if it's height. And like he gets a kick out of it. You know, ha, 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 daddy, ha, yeah, hurt your peeps.
It's like you get some nice cause and effect.
Sometimes I just want to kick him right back. And then I figure that's probably not good because he's still in his, you know, he's got some childbearing years left, whereas I don't. To be perfectly honest with you, I didn't even give you the opportunity to do your introduction. I just jumped right in with your kids. Anything else about your children that we should know? Mo is the oldest.
Yeah,
Otis is the youngest.
Mo is 5. Otis is, like I said, just about 7. He's 6. Yeah, 17 months now. And they're awesome. They're crazy fun. Mo is now in kindergarten, and that's awesome. So he's starting to learn to read and all kinds of other stuff. He's a little obstinate, though. I'm not sure I like him the way he is right now. I'm like, do this. No, why? Because I asked you to. Why? I hate that why. Or in the I can't. Anybody get the I can't? I can't tie my shoes, Daddy. You have Velcro. You don't have to tie your shoes. They're Velcro. Just put them on. I can't. Did you try? I can't. I hate I can't. I'm going to take I can't and rip it out of your dictionary. And I'm going to rip it out of your lexicon. And I'm going to rip it out of your head. I can't. That's okay. My own feeling about I can't. My name is Pedro. I have a wife and 2 kids, and I'm a full-time stay-at-home dad, actually. Most of the time I stay at home, and there are a few weeks I work 1 or 2 days a week. I teach paramedics, and I work as a paramedic part-time. So
he's a good friend to have. I can't tell you how many times he's been my first call. Like my kids early on had an allergy to or a sensitivity to, well, eggs at one point, I think, mm-hmm. Some kind of nut at some point. And, you know, Pedro's on speed dial, right? He's one of my favorites on my iPhone. It's like, hey, her face is ballooning and she looks like a clown. Should I be worried? And yes, get in the car. He's a good person to have on speed dial and such.
No, I like it. I wish more people would call because sometimes I don't get the calls and then I hear that, we waited for 4.5 hours and then we figured when she couldn't breathe, we should have gone to the hospital. Like, well, yeah, you should have gone like 4.5 hours earlier. So if you get any questions, medical or otherwise, feel free to email. I'll get back to you at some point. Don't know nothing emergent, though. Obviously.
That's a great transition, by the way. If you want to email any one of us, especially Pedro being the resident paramedic of the group, medical questions can go to him. Free advice, folks. I'm opening Pedro wide open. You can go right to the website, parenthoodbyfire.com. I don't know if you mentioned skipping back a little bit to Elena. Did you mention that you're a full-time working parent?
No, I didn't. I am a full-time working parent, and I have a very long commute.
Long commute. How long's long?
An hour each way.
Okay. Yeah. Now, some of the folks in the San Francisco Bay Area would be like, oh, hour? That's great.
That's when I go to the office. It depends on where I'm actually headed to. If I'm headed to the Bay Area, then it's a 3-hour commute.
Okay, excellent. So Pedro's stay-at-home dad. You've got an hour commute, or you being Elena. Jennifer, did you mention your commute, or you mentioned you're a working parent?
I am a working parent. I don't have a commute. I work as an early childhood consultant and actually work from home, and I also am a sleep coach, so I help parents get their kids sleeping better, and I'm able to do all of that by phone usually. And
that's
so
nice.
My commute is very short. It's from my bed to the couple steps to my desk.
Nice.
Yes.
All right.
But you're radiating your brain with your cell phone.
Yes, I totally am radiating my brain with the cell phone.
Okay, good.
Completely. Don't we all sleep with our cell phone? I mean, I don't sleep with it under the pillow.
No,
but
I sleep with mine.
It's next.
Oh, wait, sorry.
Mine's next to me.
Mine's next to me.
Mine's
I charge
next
them
to me,
the
and I feel guilty about it.
Yeah. But I turn it off at night. I mean, I have. You can set your nighttime hours so it doesn't ring.
The do not disturb function?
Yeah, I have the do not disturb. It only has emergency numbers or if you call like 3 times or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I have that too. Mine goes into do not disturb. But I keep it more mainly because I'll lose it, to be honest with you guys. I'm I tend to be a slight on the irresponsible side when it comes to keeping track of my stuff.
Oh, you're speaking to the woman who lost her iPad.
Oh, yuck. Yuck. So, Pedro, what misconceptions did you have about having children or about children in general before your kids were born?
Oh.
Or even parenting. I mean, we can gotta open that question up a little bit.
Man. Well, I was just a little background into where I came out of as a child. I was the oldest of three. I actually watched my younger sister quite a lot. So I had a lot of exposure to watching kids and being around kids, changing diapers, other stuff. So I knew it was going to be hard. I think my wife had some misconceptions, like child parenthood was just going to be like, bam, we're it. We had a kid and now let's do it. It's all been drilled into my head. And I left the hospital and I just downloaded all the information and
she technically had the kid. I mean,
she did. You know. She did. But I think.
Well, you had a big role in that.
We had a short role. I mean, our role was a couple minutes in the grand scheme, right?
Yeah, minutes.
I want to get into the deeper details. Yeah. 20, 30 minutes, maybe. Yeah.
Depends.
Okay. Sorry. You mentioned it. I just was confirming the fact that, yes, we did have a role. I mean, I was a coach, right? I'm just saying I was a coach when my wife had the kids. There are two kind of coaches. I'm gonna ask the question real quick. I'm gonna go around the table, okay? Mm-hmm. So Jennifer, when you were having the children, birthing the children, yes. Your husband Jason, where was he? Was he down by the action, or was he petting your hair and doing a little back massage stuff, or was he down helping?
He was down by the action. I remember it was him and my mother for when I had Red and. He was down by the action. One was holding each leg, and I just remember screaming, "Hold it like my mom is!" And
nice,
yeah. And so he again was showed up by my mom, and I'm sure he's thrilled about that. But yeah, she nice. Was doing it right, and he was falling down on the job slightly.
You got to really pull that thing back.
You got to hold it like you're it's not like there just like loving it. You're doing a job.
How you got there exactly. In the first place. Exactly.
Stop being lazy,
Pedro. Were you down by the action? I mean, you're a paramedic, so were you like, were you checking how a face and how dilated your wife was, or were you actually like, you know, preparing to catch? I know at one point you wanted to catch.
Yes, I did want to catch. No, I was in charge of boiling the water and getting all the hot towels. That was my job.
Nice.
No.
Filling the tub?
Yeah, no, I was filling the tub. I got the exercise ball. I was flipping through the yoga chart. So, no. We had a... When Mo was being born, we had a very interesting nurse. She was very excitable, and so she was very running around crazy and doing all this stuff. So it was my job to kind of keep Joanna calm and to kind of just be there for her. And, you know, so when Mo was actually being pushed out, I was just there counting for her. I didn't really want to get in the doctor's way. So I would have loved to have catched, but... Mo actually had what's called a nuchal cord, so he had the cord wrapped around his neck twice, and it's not uncommon. It happens, and it was pretty loose, but he came out pretty easy. But it was the first time, so women tend to tear, and things don't go as they always plan. So I was just there, calm, cool, collected, counting. That was my big job. All right, push 1, 2, 3, 4. Keep.
Now, were you down? You may have already answered it, and I was zoning off doing my own thing over here. Were you down, like pulling a leg back, or were you just coaching?
No, I was actually forceps. I grabbed a hold of
Mo's
hand.
Nice, nice, beautiful.
No, I was up. I was holding a leg, but I was also up, just holding Joanna's hand and keeping her calm and kind of just being there for her. I wasn't doing much of anything else.
Nice.
Really creepy thing is like I don't know, like. Did anybody touch the baby while it was actually coming out of the vagina? This is where it comes out. It's not stored in the vagina.
But. I don't think I did, but I was a super good pusher, and they were out real quick. So there wasn't a whole lot of time to touch anything before it was already out. So, yeah, I didn't touch when...
They asked Joanna to touch, and she's like, I don't really want
they
to.
They asked Jennifer to touch, too, actually. I don't think Jennifer did. I don't think Jennifer did, but...
Can we clarify that your wife's name is Jennifer and
that's
we are
true.
Not married?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Thank you, by the way.
You're welcome.
So there's Jennifer here, the host, one of the hosts of the show, and then there's Jennifer, my wife. So that could get a little bit confusing. I'll have to to say Mrs. Mike, or I don't know. We'll figure that out. It's episode one, right? Mm-hmm. We're allowed, yeah, to, allowed, yeah, to have a little fun. Lainey, I want to ask you, I know you mentioned that you have an adopted son, and I don't want to go too terribly deep, especially here in episode one,
yeah,
but you were present at the birth of your child.
I was.
Your son.
Yeah.
And so were you down by the action, or were you coaching the birth mom?
I was down by the action coaching.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Double role. Mm-hmm.
Very. So it was, and I don't want to, it was an incredible moment. I have not been successfully pregnant myself, so I will never have that experience. But to see him born was unbelievable.
Pretty amazing.
It was the single miracle that I think I'll see in my life. It was amazing. But I was down by the action.
All right.
Holding the leg.
That's why I asked you. They didn't ask you to touch his head when he was coming out.
No, no.
It's just creepy. Who wants to touch a baby?
Well, Elena's situation's a little bit different.
Well, no,
right?
Very different. But I mean,
very different.
She's his mom.
That's true.
His mom. And
yeah, that's right. That's right.
But I'm gonna, as a paramedic and having been around for lots of births, it is very, very beautiful, somewhat, but it's also very messy and gross and
right.
sticky
and
gooey.
And I
want to
make a distinction. I wasn't his mom until I took him home from the hospital. Mm. At that point, his birth family was his parents.
True. Okay. So that's true. So it's a little. It is a very different experience. We need to keep that in mind. And each person in this room, or each one of these hosts as we go through this, mm-hmm, has been selected for a reason. So we all have a different story. We've got Lainey, who has struggled with infertility. We've got Pedro, who's stay-at-home dad. We've got Jennifer, who is a working mom. And then you've got me, and we haven't even talked about me yet. But I'm Mike, by the way, in case... And I'm male. I didn't actually have the child. My wife is Jennifer. We've been married, 11 years coming up here in a month. And have two lovely kids, Goose, who is 6, and Goose is female, the only female child of the group here. And then I have E-Man, who is a very vibrant, fun-loving, climbing little boy, and he is 4.5. And they keep me extremely busy, and gosh, I mean, you all mentioned, you know, watching and observing and like soaking in when your children were born, and I have to say, I'm not like your machismo kind of, oh, I'm a guy, so ho ho, but I got to say, it was the most moving experience that I've ever been seen in my life, and it was by far, I think, to this day, the closest you can come to seeing a miracle here on earth is watching a child born into this world. And I was just, for the longest time, I couldn't think beyond it. I was just really stuck on it. I think the first time I knew when I was a parent, if I'm going to answer that one, actually, I don't want to answer that one. I'm going to answer the other one if you don't mind. Misconceptions about children before your kids were born. I, like your wife, and I remember having conversations with Jennifer, not my wife Jennifer, but Jennifer who's sitting across from me. I remember having conversations with Pedro's wife about, oh, we're going to have kids, and we're going to take these kids, we're going to take them out to dinner, we're going to do all this stuff, and we're going to... Yeah, that didn't work out exactly how you think that it's supposed to work out. And when you're at a restaurant and you hear some child screaming two booths over, before you have kids, you're like, God, I'm not going to let my kids do that. There's no way. No, God, I'm just... no way. And then you're like, wow, I get it. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it. There are times now where I just would rather stay home and eat pork and beans than go out and eat out. I mean, even if it's not even a financial decision. I don't want to go out right now because I don't want to have to deal with, you know, sit on your hands or don't poke your sister or, you know, stop that. And so I just thought that those people were all bad parents. And I discovered either I'm a horrible parent or that's just the way it is with kids. I mean, you've all had that experience, right? Going out and trying to have a nice meal. I can't think of the last time my family of four had a nice meal and we weren't, you know, picking food up off the floor or somebody didn't break out in tears or...
We spent a lot of time in the car, to be honest with you, at first. We still go out to dinner, and not as often as we did before we had kids. But I'm a parent of one, so I don't know if this could be different for the parent. You guys are all parents of two, but we if he's doing behavior that's not appropriate for the dinner table, and it doesn't matter what dinner table we're at, we go out and we either go talk to him outside or he goes back into the car until he's ready to join the dinner table again. And we've done that a lot. And I'm not saying he's perfect, but we definitely, he has consequences to his actions.
No witnesses outside, right?
Well, there's witnesses.
Nice.
There's always witnesses.
Well, that's why you go to the car. Well, that's true.
Yeah. Well, no, he'll
less witnesses outside.
Yeah. Well, he'll, believe me, he's spent a good, 10 minutes screaming in the car.
I bet. I want to leave the question out there for the listeners as well and ask them, what misconceptions did you have about parenthood or about children, either one, when you were first starting off as a parent? And then when did you know you first were a parent? So it's been a pleasure. Episode number one finished up. If you want to interact with us at any time, you could do that online, www.parenthoodbyfire.com. We will see you next week.